also have Alderman American, Alderman Cook joining us tonight. We also have staff present in the room, and it appears we have nobody on Zoom.
One person.
We do. Myself.
No.
Who else is on there?
It's not showing up. There we go. Okay, so we do have someone from outside. So our first item is citizen comments. Since we have no one in the room, we have none here. Do we have any comments from Zoom? Taking that as a no. So next item we have is minutes for correction approval from October 19, 2022. Any comments on the minutes? Those as presented. New business number one, admin 2022-51, budget report for October 2022.
So we have beginning fund balance of $27,366,832, year to date revenues of $26,955,592, year to date expenses of $21,574,867 for a projected ending fund balance of $32,747,557.
Any questions or comments on that? All right, that was informational. Appreciate that, Rob. Thank you. Next item, item 2022-52, Treasurer's Report for October 2022.
We just did that one.
I'm sorry.
Bob, you did the treasury report and the budget report?
Oh, I guess we did. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. In that case, treasurer's report. Any objections to consent agenda? Very good. Let's round back around to actually 2022-51, the budget report. Apologies.
Yeah, the department's expenditures are generally in line with where we expected them to be. Revenues are a little all over the place, mostly in the positive direction. We are starting to see kind of tail off, finally, 3 years later, of sales tax figures, where the percentages are, you know, single digits, more of an inflationary factor. To wit, the last 2 months that we've actually calculated, which I think only represents one of the last months in the spreadsheet there, I think it was only like a 2 or 3% increase. Which is fine and about what we had projected, over the course of an entire year, which you just have to keep that in context of inflation. So if inflation is 8 or 9%, and we're only increasing 2%, eventually that's going to catch up to us. But fortunately, we've seen double-digit increases, obviously, over the past couple of years, so that softens that blow a little bit. So we're not expecting it to be underperforming as much as we are just seeing a regression in the sales tax figures.
At this point, we have any questions on the budget report? All right, that one is informational. Doesn't need to be done. Next item, admin 2022-53, the review of invoices between $5,000 and $25,000 for October 22 and November 22. This is a new item that we talked about previously, so this is our first time seeing this.
Yep. These are basically the emails that we send the mayor, every bill list that gets put out, which just has a more condensed version of generally what's actually in the bill list, so it pulls out those specific bills and gives probably a one-sentence description of it. We're happy to do this in perpetuity, as long as we want to. It doesn't really add much time to our workload, and I think it provides just a little bit of a different piece of information for you guys to look at in the context of, you know, what are we doing within our staff authority that you may or may not find objectionable simply due to price versus, you know, what we're buying?
Any questions or comments on these? I will say, when you start to look at these things, a lot of them are things that are authorized via budget or by project, so it's just good to see how this actually breaks out as we're getting into the details of reports. All right, appreciate that. That one is informational. Next item, admin 2022-54, website report for October of 2022. Here.
The report is in your packet. Same trajectory as we have been on previous months, a lot less hits on our website, a lot more hits on our social media. We are embarking on our new website design. It is included in our contract, so it's no additional cost through Civic Plus, our current website provider. We are kicking that off this month with staff just to get a schedule put together, and then we will bring you back some iterations, some different schematics, different colors, different ways of looking at the website, and then take your feedback and bring it back to Civic Plus as well. But that'll be over the next 6 to 12 months.
Any questions or comments on the website report? I know it's a website being Facebook. Are we currently using any other methods for communications? Are we using Twitter at all?
We still use Twitter, and the parks and rec use Instagram.
Okay. Do we get any reports on those in terms of
so Twitter?
List of connectivity?
Yeah, Twitter is below. It's included in this. We just started Instagram a month ago, so we really don't have any useful data yet.
Okay. All right, any questions? Thank you, that's information as well. Now, the big one here, admin 2022-55, copy your RFP results and recommendations.
So at the end of August, beginning of September, we submitted an RFP for 10 copy proposals. 8 of them will be at the new City Hall building, 651 Perry Point, and then we'll have one at the Public Works building and at the Parks building as well. We did receive 8 different proposals. The firms are listed in the memo, and the responsible low-cost provider is a firm named Marco. So staff is recommending that we engage them in a 36-month contract. Tentatively to begin on March the 1st, which is tentatively when we plan on moving into the new building here at City Hall. And then we currently are month-to-month with our current provider, Impact Networking, so we would have that contract culminate at that time as well.
Any questions or comments on this?
How much time do you have to give the current provider notice before you can terminate?
We're month-to-month, so 30 days. Yeah.
Just like a regular lease.
Yep.
How many copiers do we have now between the departments?
6.
So we expect a slight overlap on the transition. Marco comes in, and then after they're fully tested,
correct,
then we will release the other ones.
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of a balancing act depending on when we move in. Obviously, we want the new copiers ready to go. We can commence operations at Prairie Point, but we certainly want to make sure we have copiers here as well for as long as we need them.
Any questions or comments? Any recommendation on consent agenda or not? Have no issue with this on consent. Consent, please. Thank you. All right, Admin 2022-56, Community Development File Scheme Proposal.
All right, so we've got quotes, not formal RFP, given the nature of services for scanning and turning into electronic files. All of our flat files and plans that the Community Development Department owns and has accumulated over the past few decades. This came up while we were discussing the second floor storage room in the new building and whether or not we wanted to add structural beams or not to the main part of the room, where some did get added, but not enough to put like a formal, full high-density storage system in there. And so these are files that we can scan and use electronically without issue. About 50% of everything that we keep or that we have to keep in perpetuity because of different local records act laws. The 50% of it, once it's scanned, can be thrown away. There's no practical issue operationally with scanning them and having plan reviewers use the electronic files versus the paper files. They're doing that already with the current plan without issue. And they have actually been going back and scanning old files since they needed them to, and that's worked out okay. So what Christy did, just in an effort to try to give us an option for the new building, is to go to different providers of storage and scanning services and ask them to put forth a quote to scan every flat file and plan that we have, and then to index it in a way so that it's basically has like a file name and some other data within the file type, so that it will be somewhat sorted into an electronic thumb drive or hard drive. We can then not spend much time reorganizing after they scan them, and then use those going forward. So the main quotes within it that actually corresponded to exactly what we needed, understood what we were looking for, were from Konica, Minolta, and Bradford. Bradford is actually an offshoot arm of the high-density storage system that we bought for the building. Konica, Minolta, even though it's more expensive, had more services within it and better understand what we were looking to do. And so Christy's making the recommendation that we actually authorize Konica Minolta to come in, scan all of our files, work with us to index them properly so that we can use them without issue going forward, and then work with us to actually figure out what we can do for disposal of about 50% of those documents, and then look at deep storage for the rest of those. So that is not included within it, but in general, there are a lot of places in the Chicagoland region where they will take whatever deep storage files you have, ship them to a warehouse, basically on recall, provide you with a way to access those in the future with enough notice. So usually it's like 4 or 24 hours or whatever it is, whatever you pay for. So you can call them and say, like, I have to have this file for whatever reason, but they would pull it and then send it to us. So that is a commonly accepted practice that municipalities use when they have files that they don't want to keep on site. And so that's the proposal. From a budget perspective, we did save about $80,000 between some of the structural steel improvements that we originally planned in the building and then the high-density storage system not being authorized within that second-floor building. So we figure as a direct substitute, and basically our preference is to have electronic files over the paper files, about 80 of that $125,000 is paid for within the per-employee building budget, which then leaves us about $45,000, or $55,000, excuse me, $135,000. Within just general budget overages. So we had a pretty substantial budget surplus last year. We're sitting on a healthy fund balance. There's a lot of things within the budget that aren't going to get done this year, ERP system and other things that will take up that dollar amount. So we have things that we may not even need a budget amendment if you guys authorize it. But if you're looking for one, we certainly have more than enough options to be able to say, this is what we prefer to do instead of X, Y, and Z. So that's the concept. Didn't know what you would want to do with this, if you thought it was a great idea, if you had more questions, if you wanted us to go to formal RFP, which would be a longer process. But this was our end of analysis and then presentation to you for recommendation on what to do next.
Questions or comments?
I think it's obviously a restorage. I really do. These files, public will have access to them electronically if they need to?
Yeah, to the extent that we've got them indexed, it's easy to upload them within either the laser fiche system that we currently have, which is a little clunky, or when we do our next level ERP system that's hopefully integrated with the GIS map, you can be able to just go and click and then have all the documents related to a property without having to search for it or do anything else other than just, you know, scroll over it on the map.
Any other questions? So this process would have, if we move forward with this, it would have a checks and balances of work being done, staff checking, spot checking to make sure that they're happy before things are destroyed, and we see, and then storage, local and cloud storage for us, and we're, this is going to be a high volume of storage capacity, so, and I do like the idea of off-site storage for any of the long-term team files, so we can clear up spaces there. If the community's comfortable taking the staff's recommendation, I think it is a good one. Obviously, we do have those savings from high density storage and the structural element that we did not do with the new building, so $25,000 of additional. I think it's something we could easily look into doing if that's our recommendation.
Great.
Recommendations proceed?
Yep.
With Conklin also as presented.
I don't think we need to move forward with the proposals.
No. In that direction?
Yes.
Okay.
We will bring that to a future city council meeting. We might have directly the same proposal, so it might not be the next one. You want that on the regular agenda?
On the regular list.
So we have our standard bond abatement ordinances that we do every year. We have six of them this year. We actually have two dropping off, the 2016 refunding and the 2014B refunding will actually be paid in full this year, but we do have one being added on, and that's the 22 issue that we did in January. But again, we do an abatement every year to ensure that these bonds and debt services don't get included in people's property tax bills, so that's the purpose of the abatement.
Any question on the abatement? All right, that consent agenda. Very good, thank you. Next item, admin 2022-58, special service area abatement ordinances, A through E.
So again, these abatement ordinances, actually they're partial abatements ordinances pertaining to the various SSAs that we have across town. This year is all pretty straightforward. The debt service amounts on a per parcel basis, as you can see from the summary sheet, will increase anywhere from about 1% to 2.5%, which is a normal inflationary increase, which is built into the bonds, the debt service amounts for these various SSAs. So again, pretty straightforward this year for the SSA abatements for the special service areas.
Anybody have any questions on these? Consent. Very good. Admin 2022-59, ordinance for the amended levy and assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1, 2023, ending April 30, 2024, in and for special service area number 2004-201, Austin.
So again, this is very similar to what we presented last year. As you may recall, about 10 years ago in FY16, this fund went negative due to some pretty large trail maintenance costs. And at that time, we decided to pay it back over a 10-year payback period, which is coming to an end here in the next couple of fiscal years. So just following last year's plan, we recommend that we incrementally increase the SSA property taxes by $11.31 on a per parcel basis. So as you can see on the second page of the memo, that actually is in line with what we proposed last year. And then actually for fiscal year 25 and 26, we're actually proposing a decrease of $11.31. So we would keep it at $108.60, at least for the next couple of years, based on what we're projecting here on the budget report. So we would keep it at $24,000 into the foreseeable future.
Any questions or comments? The fact that it's able to hold steady as we progress, we'll see if there are any changes in the budget slate. Any issue with consent? All right, thank you. Admin 2022-60, I'm going to skip this one, it's just sunflower states.
So similar story for sunflower as well. This fund went negative about 10 years ago, not because of trail maintenance, but because of pond naturalization. And again, it was decided at that time we'd do a 10-year payback period, which would culminate in fiscal year 2025. So this year, we're actually recommending that we hold the levy steady at $21,000 and keeping it there for the foreseeable future. So actually, that's a decrease of $8.54 per parcel compared to what we projected last year. So it'll be $179.49 per parcel versus $188.03 per parcel going forward through 25 or 26, excuse me.
Any questions or comments? Consent for that one, please. All right, on business, we have none. Additional business. One item to discuss is potential discussion of the item that's been hot topic at City Council, which is the drag shows and the ordinances relating to that. So I figured we could have a discussion on that. Obviously, there's no action. But this would just be open roundtable. That's why I know we have some additional council members here to possibly participate in the general discussion on whether or not we feel there should be any changes to ordinances, regulations, or what we have on the books is acceptable, or if we feel that what's happening, you know, does get our cut. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Open discussion.
Well, I guess from speaking for myself, one of my concerns is we have a large group of people who see done a lot of work to make the, to make their case. And I haven't seen where we've given really an argument back to them. All I've heard is the mayor says so, the attorney says so. I was expecting to see something from the city come back and explain why it's legal or not legal. And it's just embarrassing to have all these emails and not be able to respond to them because I don't know what to say. So I guess that's where I'm coming from. I'm at a loss. I don't have any reasoning to follow in making a decision whether this is good or bad. That's my two cents.
Appreciate that. Understood. Anyone else want to weigh in? Have any opinions on this?
Like, looking into the ordinances, I think they're kind of old and antiquated and could use some updating, in my opinion, kind of, as far as the whole no male, female impersonation. I mean, in today's world, it's an accepted thing. So, if we're going to keep with the current ordinance, I think we're just going to keep running into issues as the years move on. So, I'd rather spearhead it now and take care of some of those issues. As far as the shows go, what happened with Pinheads, I had no problem with making it ticket only, keeping it away from the public. I don't want kids accessible to it. In my opinion, I would say we need something like a rated R movie, you know, 17 and over, unless accompanied by an adult, or 18 and over. But I really don't want to make it easy for children to see it accessible in a place like South Bank. If you're walking down the Riverwalk, you don't want to see that. It should be more of a private, closed session.
It would have to be 21, I would say, because of the age of being able to purchase alcohol. So leaving it under 21 would be a problem for places that are selling bottomless mimosa drag shows. Again, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think what they're doing with Pins is offensive to those, to anyone who other than wants to find it offensive. I think it might run afoul of the ordinance because it's very specific about male and female impersonators. So if these businesses, maybe their input would be necessary as well, they want to continue to have these, they might want to weigh in on it, but I don't have a problem modifying the ordinance to get rid of that particular language about male and female impersonators. Their argument about what is essentially a quasi-strip show, I think that goes a little bit too far. So I really don't have a problem keeping the language in there about people exposing themselves, people showing their cracks, and whatever it is that Ms. Krebsky is arguing about. Like, in terms of if people want to dress up as the opposite gender and dance around and to adults, really have any objection to that.
I mean, if you look at the two videos, the one that was taken at South Bank was definitely more sexually charged.
Absolutely.
The one at Pins, I have no issue with at all.
Absolutely.
And they're two separate companies. So I'm agreeing with you on 21 and over.
You know. Have there been any other complaints about the type of show that was recorded and provided to us from South Bank? Because the only thing I've seen is that one video. Have there been any others?
No. I think South Bank came in under the radar, in my opinion. I think it happened. I personally didn't even know about it until August. And I'm hoping that they got, that we've been able to communicate to them that that's not going to be appropriate. The weird part, because I did try to communicate with these individuals and from the beginning. And I think the thing with the ordinance is both sides tend to agree. The city says they're okay with the ordinance, and these people have told me that they're okay with the ordinance. So I don't know, and that's when it kind of leaves economic development. That's to to address an ordinance, right? And if both sides agree, there's, I don't know what there is to address.
But they are fine with the ordinance because it gives them some validity to argue it more. They really don't want to show us. So even if the ordinance was changed, it's not going to make them happy. But changing the ordinance, I think, overall makes the general public happy. They're never going to be happy with anything until the shows are eradicated. They don't want to see them. They don't think it's appropriate. You know, personal opinions, you know, moral opinions, whatever the legalities are, is more where I'd be concerned with.
And then one other thing about the stop bike, I told the individuals that I'm not going back to the past and try to cite someone. That's not how it works to me. You drive, you speeded through town or something and didn't get a ticket, okay, you got away that time. But I think I got the impression from them that they really want us to go and penalize those stop bank. Something that happened too much before was even on our radar, at least my radar.
And that's not something we're gonna do. But clearly the mayor, the liquor commissioner, so from the enforcement side of the regulations, the mayor has taken the position, the liquor commissioner has taken the position that, well, he has had a conversation with them, and there is a debate of whether or not there was a issue there, an actual citable issue. Well, there's discretion that can be had. So having a conversation to head off the issue, well, that's a discretionary point that any enforcement officer has, and that's how this has appeared to have gone down. Yeah, it's not our purview as the legislature of the city to be going and trying to get enforcement of this. What we're here to do is look at the rules and say, do our ordinances do what they need to do? As you said, are they up to the times? Do we want to change them? Do we want to consider that? Or do we want to keep them the same? Are they fine the way they are? The enforcement is a different issue. And I'm with you. I don't think it's fair to go back in time to penalize somebody for something in the past. I mean, having conversations with people is a much better approach than the intent again. And I would say it appears to have had some benefit for conversation because we are not having those complaints of, you know, who acts or anything at the shows. Now, as you said, morals and how that's perceived, that's a totally different issue. So if there are, or if there is directions you want to change things here, we could make recommendations to have staff put something forward in terms of a review of the ordinances and what options are, because we do have to be careful in terms of what can be changed. There are state statutes and some federal mandates that are out there due to court rulings. Certain things we cannot change. So we have to have legal input, staff input in order to make changes. So if we do want to do anything, it would be beneficial to us to have a review, some sort of staff memo, attorney's memo that gives us a basis of where we stand. And I think that there are several who have asked that of staff, but obviously, we cannot individually ask the direct staff. So, if it's something from the committee that would want to have that, we can ask that. And whether it stays here or moves to EDC, that's to be seen.
That's the kind of thing that would satisfy me.
Just a staff ruling on it.
Just coming back and giving them the reasons why.
I agree with Seaver, I think. It is kind of embarrassing when we can't go back and have a different argument or say that this is exactly what it is, because we don't have that written legal opinion. So that's challenging for us, right? So we took an oath, we were sworn in to take an oath, but then we've got all these gray areas, and we got to clarify those gray areas. So where do we go, what do we do? I agree with you guys on if we come to an impasse, and this is where we're at, 21 and over for sure, right? Keep it away from the kids. That's one of the big things. I did have two different individuals outside of the Kremski family that said, listen, we appreciate the steps that you guys are taking, and at least it's somewhere closer to a middle ground of where we're at now by saying, tone it down. So I think we're moving in the right direction. It's where else, what else can we do? And I guess the next question would be, okay, what if somebody finds out that one of these establishments are getting back to what they did before, like South Bank? What's the next step? So if you say tone it down, what does that mean? What's the next repercussion if it's not? And who's going to enforce that? We don't have staff to go out there and check every time they have one of these. So that's a challenge for us. But where do we go from here?
I think that's a good point. That's one of the things I was worried about myself.
I was just going to say, enforcement will be a challenge with this, just like any of the other types of enforcement we have, whether it's police, whether it's, you know, lawn maintenance. We have quite a few different types of enforcement, liquor commission enforcement. All of these, you just have to have somebody that can actually go there, check to see if there is a violation and a citation. And as we know, with, you know, whether it's the liquor commission or local adjudication, still there's discretion. So.
And I don't think we can have somebody go out and just check them all the time, because then that could be discrimination, right? Why aren't you going out and checking all these other establishments? You're just going in on this one. So I think that's where the delicate balance comes in. How do you play that scenario out where it's fair for everybody?
And because if you're responding to complaints, you have to be available to respond while it's happening.
Right? That's what it would be. You would need a complaint rather than having someone on duty to say, Vince is having another drag show, get your citation book out, and have them sit there for 3 hours. I think you would have to have someone there pick up the phone and say, I'm complaining because they're violating the ordinance. Hypothetically, what I was going next was, if you get a written opinion from staff, from legal counsel, and they say, these drag shows are violating municipal ordinance, there's a lot of ammunition in it. Prepared for that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, we absolutely have to, because that is going to be, this could come down to being whatever staff and legal opinion we get. Our hand could be dealt to us something that we have to respond to, you know, and that may be something that is necessary. But as of right now, this is a discussion, and I think our next step is see if we can get something from staff and from the attorney.
A legal opinion would be confidential. That's my opinion on that.
I'm not sure I agree with you. I think once she pens the memo, depending on what's in it and how it addresses everybody else, it probably would not.
It'd be FOIA-able?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then we would just have to make a decision at that time. There we go.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's definitely a gray area. If you were using it in the discussion of like a preliminary draft of an ordinance, like staff could clearly keep that exempt and not FOIA-able. Once it's in front of the board, it becomes, use the phrase more FOIA-able, even though that's probably not the correct phrase. And the only reason I know that is we had similar issues in the 2000s, annexations, landfills, and staff and attorney memos that were being drafted and distributed in executive session and elsewhere about what would be discussed. So I will certainly, depending on the outcome of this discussion, obviously, reference that to Candy as she's drafting it. And just if I could respond to one other thing. So Jason had posed the question about enforceability, and the full kind of discussed it. Yes, in general, anything within the liquor code, okay, is under the liquor commissioner for enforcement, directly, specifically. And then, so that's police powers, and there's other people that can write liquor tickets, but in general, it's kind of like a standalone. And then zoning code, anything else, you know, that's a little bit broader. That would be zoning officers, inspectors, police, depending on the issue, nuisance complaints. Like, you know, there are a host of people that are authorized under city code to be able to write tickets for different as they pop up and they think that it's an issue.
Just to kind of clarify, because I had someone ask me about what if the establishments were having these shows, took the financial responsibility to, you know, have someone there to watch instead of us, you know, sending. I don't know if that's even a I just know it was mentioned to me. It said a city having to put somebody in place, they could have that, like, sort of kind of bodyguard, I guess, would be, or a bouncer or something. This person would be making sure that, I don't know how even that would work. When I heard it, I wasn't sure either, so.
Well, I do know for the pin shows that Chris, the owner of pins, hires extra security to keep people out from peeking the curtains and to keep children away. Him and I had that specific conversation. Security might not be the right word, but he has extra staff monitoring for that. And he was very very much aware of the issues going on, and his reaction was basically the same thing. They don't want me to, well, he doesn't want people that didn't pay for a ticket looking in too, but he wants to keep children away from the bowling aspect of it and have two separate things. So that I'm not opposed to that either, is, you know, if they want to have extra staff on.
Yeah, it was mentioned to me, and I wouldn't have an answer, so.
I think you did have a problem having a private business hire public employees to enforce on their property.
Yeah.
I think that would be an issue.
Okay.
I do.
Conflict there.
Well, I don't know if it would be a conflict, but...
Well, they would have to know the city's code, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, but if they're writing violations for lack of compliance, they would be city employees being paid privately.
Okay. Typically, the only time something that sort of happens is special events that occur with the city. City staff that have to maybe do setup or whatnot, their time would be reimbursed. If there's an officer that has to be on special detail for that event, that would be the reinforcement. But it's not the type of enforcements that this is looking for.
The police are getting reimbursed for overtime because they have extra hours for
it. Right. To have it as an enforcement mechanism, yeah, but I don't see how that would work out very well.
Would that be something that could possibly be done, though, in if there was an ordinance change to require a certain number of personnel or security or door, somebody at the door. I know, like I said, I know kids, that's like right in my backyard. Whenever he has outdoor events or anything like that, he always brings on more staff.
And it's possible that something like that could be written in. I'm sure there'd be a lot of research to figure if we have the grounds to require that, you know, staff for special events, but it could be considered.
Broadly with the public events, licensing and regulations, you might be able to say if your event has this many people, you have to provide this security in order to do it on public land. Privately, I think that's more of a gray area. And then additionally, when you get into content restriction, like you said, an ordinance, like if there's a drag show, you have two extra security guards. I don't know if that would hold up versus like just the bar having a band. Having two extra security guards, that's going to be problematic.
Yeah. If it's the amount of people in a space, that's one thing. But if it's the amount of people in a space based on this type of event,
content based,
then you, I believe, would have a legal issue. So, but those are all types of details we can get into and consider.
I think one of my concerns is if we're addressing, if we're potentially going to change or update the ordinance, I mean, are we building a good time after bad there? Are we just going to keep rolling the train backwards and nobody's happy? We're supposed to pick complaints and say the same arguments were recycled, staff's having to handle that. That's just one of my concerns, is to Craig's point. It basically sounds like we don't want it here, right? Anything that we change that is anything short of saying, we can't do that here. I don't really see any resolution that's really going to get us where, ideally, someone wants to go.
Right. I think you're right on that. That the parties that have been involved in these conversations publicly, it appears they've dug their heels in on both sides. Now, they have said, you know, they want to work with us. They want to, you know, have conversations. But you're right. I think we may find that no matter what we do, either side's going to be happy. However, we're the ones that legislate. We have to take the information we're given. And maybe it is something that is just a refresher of the ordinances, or it's going to completely different look. I mean, there are times where, you know, us as elected do not take the same stance as what the population wants. But at least we're having this conversation. I think that's the start. And we've received a lot of feedback on this. And we've heard, in committees, we've heard a lot lesser items. And we spent a lot of time on it. But this one has had a lot of public comments, so I figured we needed to at least discuss.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's been their main complaint is that it violates liquor code. It should be zoned adult entertainment. I've never actually seen the statute of what constitutes adult entertainment. I don't think that falls under adult entertainment.
And there are a few points that have been made that they have brought up that should be looked at, should be something that's in our report from legal can clarify themselves, you know, with the statute and whether or not there is a potential violation or not, or if there are things we can do to help better, you know, either make it more business friendly or making the restrictions, whether it's tightening them up, making them better, you know, the blacking out of the window screen, those kind of things. Those kind of recommendations would be beneficial for us as we move forward. Do we have direction for staff? Looking for a staff and legal review?
Just to be clear, this is under initial business, so you can't give formal direction.
No direction, yeah. But in order to understand where we're coming from, and if this comes back next month, it would be an agenda item. Is that good news?
How does it become an agenda item thus until we know what the attorney and the staff feel?
It can become an agenda item at any point.
For discussion.
Right. It can be added to the agenda of any board committees, or it can be added to the city council with consent of four or to the mayor's report with his direction.
I will relay the comments of this conversation to the attorney, the mayor, and the government.
And then prior to attendance next month, we will see if it ends up on the agenda. Unless we have someone wanting to add to next month's agenda.
I know we can't give any recommendations for direction, but as someone who has spent 20 plus years practicing law, keeping it as legal for your eyes only as possible would probably be my course of conduct as an attorney, so take that for what it's worth.
Anything else?
Pins.
Better coming.